Father, thank you for your presence tonight. I pray for your special anointing and touch in this part of the service. Speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through your messenger. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Five words that seem to jump off the page. It would seem as though it's even out of context. But I have no doubt that God intended for it to be here because it does fit within the context of Scripture. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Matthew records the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. John records the words of Jesus by recording and writing this: "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." We know that verse. We have understood that verse. We have probably paid attention to that verse, but let me go on to the next verse, because Jesus says something very keen, very much important in the very next verse. He said, "By this," referring to that previous verse, "by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another." Now, could we spend just a little bit of time tonight and refresh our memory as to all the ways that our testimony is out there among people? Your testimony is out there by way of your smiles or lack thereof, your kindness to other people or your rudeness to other people. That's a testimony one way or the other. There's all kinds of ways to be a testimony to the people that we rub shoulders with or bump elbows with on a regular basis, on a weekly or monthly basis, whatever the case may be. But Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Peter records in his first epistle in chapter number 1, verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Unfeigned love of the brethren. "See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Unfeigned love of the brethren. Pure heart, fervently, loving people, loving our brothers. Now, let me take a little bit of a diversion here and go over to James chapter 3 and verse 12. And this may sound like I'm jumping way off a cliff, but hold steady. I believe that we can tie it together. And I don't think it'll take too much for you to understand that I can tie it together. James 3:12, "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Do you catch the connection that is there with the words of James and what these other writers and recorders are giving us about loving the brethren? We can't do both loving and hating. Animosity and love just don't go hand in hand. They won't work. Peter also records in the second chapter in verse number 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, I don't want to take the time tonight to go into what that peculiar people would represent, but I wonder if that peculiar people that he's talking about is in the very area of how we treat one another and love one another. Because that is not the way. I've got to do something here. It's ringing my ears out. Sorry. Where was I? It's not the way the world is when it comes to relationship. You can be in relationship in the world one day, but something happened overnight, it seems, and suddenly there is a breakdown of that relationship. I was telling my wife the other day that one of the stories that was going around the local diner, you know, that one that's in town, just a simple story going around the local diner of two men who were good friends there, sitting around the table talking about all sorts of stuff. And I noticed that one of them hadn't been back. I hadn't seen one for quite some time, and I really wasn't thinking too much about it, but somebody brought the subject up that so-and-so isn't coming back to Velma's anymore because he got into an argument with somebody else over where's the best place to buy strawberries. I mean, I said, are you serious? Are you sure that's what the problem is? Yes, that's what the problem was. They couldn't agree on where the best place was to buy strawberries, so the one's mad and he's not coming back. Peculiar people love one another through the differences of where you buy your strawberries. Peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, Peter also records in the second chapter in verse 17, the second phrase of that verse, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. That could go right along with what the Hebrew writer said, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Love as siblings. Love as siblings. You say, well, I get in some arguments with my siblings. You might get in arguments with your siblings, but when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, you're standing with that sibling, chances are. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren. 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Love the brethren. Love one another. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 5:8. Through 10. Doesn't have anything about love here, but it does tell us that we have an enemy here that will do whatever he can to get into our relationships. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your world or in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now you say that doesn't have anything to do with let brotherly love continue, but I would say that it does have a whole lot, because the devil, the enemy of our soul, wants to work at our relationships. If he can divide us, then he has broken us and he has hindered our testimony that testifies to the world around us that we are his, Christ's disciples. Did you see that? Let brotherly love continue. That's just five words out of the book of Hebrews, and the writer, the author, would give us this enduring instruction. It's a call to action that is just as relevant today as it was then. There is no breakdown of relevancy in this five-word statement. It's just as valid today. Now, the phrase brotherly love comes from the Greek word Philadelphia. Philadelphia sounds English to me. I've been to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Greek word Philadelphia, which means, that word means love among siblings. Love among siblings. But the context of this phrase, brotherly love, is a New Testament context, and it's extending to all the members of the Christian family. All the members of the Christian family. The foundation of this is rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. That means that it's a love that would bind us together regardless of background and regardless of status and regardless of circumstances. Brotherly love is more than polite kindness or mere tolerance. I would have to admit tonight that there were times, and there's still times, that I would tolerate a brother. I'm not going to say which one, but one of them at least. Tolerate. Why is it so much so that one? Because probably he and I are the ones that have butted heads more often than the other ones. Now, we butted heads figuratively. I've got another brother that we literally, well, I mean, my fist contacted his head more times than it should have. One was too many times, according to my parents, and I'm sure that it was too many times according to the Lord as well. Should never have been that way. And my mom would always tell us at those times, she said, "Boys, you fight worse than sinner boys." And it's like, "Mom, we are sinners." Should never have been that way. But it's more than mere tolerance. This brotherly love should be active. It should be a selfless concern for one another's well-being. This brotherly love that he's talking about should be an encouragement to us to serve. Should be an encouragement to us to forgive. Should be an encouragement to us to bear one another's burdens, even as Christ did for us. One thing that we can notice here is that the writer does not say, "Let brotherly love begin." But it says, "Let brotherly love continue." This means, this would imply that love has already made its presence within our ranks and within the family of God, within the Christian relationship of family, that it's already there and it's at work in the midst of it. It's evidence of a transformation. Hear me. It's evidence of a transformation in Christ, because in the world it doesn't happen that way. Because in the world, they get upset over where to buy strawberries. But in the church, it should be evidenced of the transformation that is found in Christ when we love one another. "By this shall all the people know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another." You see, our love is a witness. Our love for each other is a witness. Let me broaden it just a speck. Let me go just a little bit outside of these four walls tonight. Our love for the brethren should extend to people that have a little bit differing opinion about some things of scriptural basis or belief system. If they claim to love Christ, if they love Jesus and they are walking what we would say and what they would say, they're walking in the light of what they know to be true of God's word, they're being obedient to what they know, then we should not hold them at a position where we would make them feel we are better than what they are. We should love them as brethren, or if you prefer, as sisters. I mean sisters. Never figured out how that worked. Brethren and sistren. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. I texted my sister yesterday or the day before. She's carrying so much more than what she ever dreamed she would have to carry at this stage in her life, and my heart goes out to her. I was really feeling for her, and I text her to let her know that I'm at least thinking about her. No more of that childhood troubles and ignorance coming from Big Brother. What's the point in picking on little sister? It's not necessary. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that relationship change, and it's no longer something that you're picky and fussy. And let's be brothers and sisters. Now, how can we do this? How can we allow the love of Christ to continue? The first thing that I want us to recognize as the way that we allow brotherly love to continue is by practicing forgiveness. One thing that you might hear from me more this year than what you've ever heard from me before is in this area of forgiveness. And you say, but Brother Ziegler, you've preached an awful lot about forgiveness in the past. Well, you might hear it more from me because what I'm finding as I read the Bible, what I find in at least in the New Testament, is that the culture of heaven is forgiveness and the culture of hell is unforgiveness. And if the culture of unforgiveness is that of hell, then you and I should not, as followers of Christ, have anything along that line of unforgiveness found within the confines of our spiritual existence or life. But if forgiveness is the culture of heaven, then that should be the inflow action of our lives, where the culture of heaven is permeating us because we are new creatures in Christ and a new creature in Christ, and the culture of heaven is being formed and flowing through us, then we have to be forgiving. So that's where I see it, practicing forgiveness. When we hold grudges, or we let resentment grow, grudges and resentment growing stifles love. Brotherly love can only continue when we forgive freely in the same measure that Christ has forgiven us. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus made it very clear that if we don't find forgiveness for others, that the Father will not forgive us. You see, forgiveness is the culture of heaven, and if we are going to allow the love of the brethren to continue, then we must practice forgiveness. The second thing that we have to be involved with and allowing it to take place for brotherly love to continue is by serving one another. Serving one another. Now, this would be a perfect time if some of you wanted to come up here, grab something somewhere, and start having a foot washing ceremony or service, because that's exactly what this part represents, serving one another. Doing something that is of service to someone else without ever anticipating a response or something to be given back to me. Serving one another. Why is it so important that we serve one another? It's because love is seen in action more than in words. Love is seen in action, and it's helping those who are struggling and sharing what we have to those that are in need and noticing those who are feeling overlooked or neglected or see somebody that has need of something. You see, serving people is probably something that we have to work on developing, because it's easy for us to be so caught up in our own circumstances that we fail to see the need of somebody else. Have you ever had somebody reach out to you in the time, in a dark time or in a troubling time? And maybe not everybody here has had this experience, but I'm sure that some of you have had this experience, and maybe you have even been on the giving end of it. You have reached out to somebody that was on your mind only to find out that it was so necessary on the other end, or that you were in need of somebody reaching out, not to nose into your business or your circumstances, but simply hearing a voice or receiving a text, somebody's thinking about you and it means so much. That's important for us. If God's pressing your mind, technology is such now that if God's pressing your mind with somebody in your sphere, in your world, then call them or text them or pray for them and then text them and say, hey, I just prayed for you. Hope everything's all right. Serving others, continuing to let brotherly love work in our lives. The third thing is by speaking in kindness. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never. We've all grown up to realize that that was a wrongful statement. Because our words will either build up or tear down. Our words, when we don't even mean them to be hurtful, can be very hurtful. I've been there, done that. And I've gone back, I've had to go back many times to when I understood that my words, though I had no interest in hurting, they were not intended to be hurtful in any way, they were still hurtful. I think I shared with you that the cook, the one that does the cooking most of the time in at Velma's, she made a statement about some things, and my response was just simply off the cuff. I had no indication, and I didn't even know from then on that it was hurtful until somebody brought a note out to me and said, "Here, this is for you." And I read it, and I couldn't figure out what it was about or what it was for. And here that cook was back there hurting because of what I had said. If I were to give you the details, you would understand what and how, but there's no need to go into that. And I realized it as soon as they told me what was going on. I realized, and I didn't know the other side. I was just spouting something because of something that she said. Speaking in kindness. Let brotherly love continue in how we speak, encouraging, comforting, gently correcting when needed. Gently correcting when needed. Gently is the big word there. The fourth way is to bear burdens together. You see, every one of us have trials in life. Life just seems the way of bringing trials or having trials, and none of us should have to stand by ourselves. None of us stand alone. Brotherly love means that we stand with each other in the good times as well as the hard times. Sometimes it means praying together. Sometimes it means supporting each other. Sometimes it means just being there silently. Practical examples would just simply draw our attention to the idea, to the realization that you can consider your own life, and there's somebody in your family, there's somebody in your workplace, there's probably somebody even in the church that you are attending who needs to experience somebody else's brotherly love or sisterly love. Perhaps it's a neighbor that does not attend your church and perhaps doesn't even attend anybody's church. I was sitting at Velma's yesterday with Harold. I had on my Wise Ball hat. Some of you have seen those Wise Ball hats. They're pretty neat. They're pretty nice. Sitting there with my Wise Ball hat on. Anybody in there that knows me would know that I'm the pastor at Wise Ball, I think. I think that's pretty much common understanding at Velma's. If they know me, they know that I'm the pastor at Wise Ball. And I had a Wise Ball hat on. Somebody walked up to me and gave me a card for their church and invited me to their church. A little bit of a, you know, tongue-in-cheek, a little bit of a grin. But as weird as it is to you, that did my heart good that this person invited me to their church. Now, the likelihood of me going to their church for any service is, well, I don't really know because I don't know when I could go. You know, 99 to 1. Maybe a special service sometime I might be able to get in there. I don't know. But somebody, a neighbor somewhere along the line who is needing a contact or appreciates a contact, maybe it's a colleague who needs encouragement or a friend who feels forgotten. If Kimberly were up here, she'd say, take them a plate of cookies or something. Isn't that cookies? Is that what you say often? Take them something. Take them some flowers. She does that with flowers. Take them some flowers. And so if she was up here saying that, she would be talking about that. And I would say, amen. Somebody feeling discouraged or somebody feeling forgotten. God is wanting us to reach out to them. He wants us to be His hands and His feet. If the church is really continuing in brotherly love, then differences would not divide us. Mark that down in your head. You may not want to write it in your Bible or you're not taking notes, and that's fine, but at least mark it down in your head, in your mind, that if a church is really allowing brotherly love to continue, then I'm not saying that there won't be differences. I'm saying that differences won't divide us. Differences won't divide us. Compassion would be our language, and generosity would be free-flowing. And it would seem as though that if that is the effort of the church, and that is the picture of the church, that the community would see the beacon of hope that is coming out of that family, that church family, that church group who has brotherly love continuing. A beacon of hope in the midst of a hurting world. Will you agree with me tonight that our world, our people of our world are hurting? We don't have to go into southern South America to find a country of people who are hurting. We can find hurting people all around us. Everywhere we go. As I mentioned, I was sitting at Velma's yesterday with Harold, and I looked across the room, and there was an elderly gentleman. If I mentioned his name, nearly every one of you would know him. He's related to some of y'all. And I asked the waitress, who's waiting on that table over there? And they told me, and so I called that waitress over, and I said, bring me his ticket. I want his ticket. And so she brought his ticket to me. Does he know that you're doing this? No, just tell him that somebody covered it for him. And I watched his face. He probably didn't need me to do it. I mean, financially, he didn't need me to do it. But I watched his face transform. And Harold looked at me later and he said, I think you made his day. I think you made his day, he said. I think I did too. He still doesn't know who did it. So if you hear him talking about it, don't tell him who did it.
Shouldn't have told you that he's related to some of y'all. Sometimes we just need to offer a beacon of hope to somebody. Just a little bit of kindness to somebody. They may not be needing it at that very moment, but it could be that if God puts it on you, that they are needing it at that very moment. You know, it's not just for those that we naturally get along with, but it's for all of God's children. Brotherly love is not just for Sundays, but it's for every day. As we go into this week and as we stretch into a new year, the heart command, or the, receive the commandment in our heart, let brotherly love continue. That our words and our actions and our attitudes reflect the love of Christ. And may we be known, hear me, may we be known not for what divides us, but for how we love one another. That's powerful, even if I'm the one that did say it. That's powerful. Not known for what divides us, but for how we love one another. And that God would fill us with his love so that brotherly love will continue to flow through us and help us to forgive and help us to serve and help us to encourage one another so that our community will be transformed by his Spirit shining a beacon of hope through our lives and our witness to draw others to Jesus. Would you stand with me tonight? God, help us to be a light and a beacon of hope to those around us, loving one another. God, help me. God, help me. Praise God. Jonathan, would you dismiss us with prayer?